This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So, pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. Hello and welcome to episode 62 of Sunday Supplement. With me, as always, is Izzy. Hello, Izzy. How are you?
I'm all right.
Yeah, enough about you. Now, a few days ago, we were on Skype and you admitted something which I want you to repeat on air.
No.
Yes. You said that you'd listened back to last week's episode and that I really should have won.
No, I did not say such a thing. That would be ridiculous.
You did. And you said that my Cupboard 205 article was really good.
Yeah, but the trouble is, as an article, it should have won. But because you're so bad at presenting, it didn't.
Oh, so it's my fault.
Yeah, it's all your fault.
So you can't see past me to my substance. You can only see me. Now, that sounds disgusting. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it to sound disgusting. How are you?
I'm actually angry because for some reason today I clicked on a few links. You know, I did the link, follow, link, follow, link, a bit like tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. So I clicked on a link from Twitter, which clicked on a link to another link on that page, another link on that page. I ended up a page on the Daily Mail online and There was a poll. Now, what do you think the Daily Mail readers answered to this? Should the children of bad parents be taken away as babies and offered for adoption?
What?
What way do you think the Daily Mail readers went on that?
I would have thought they'd something like 85% say yes.
Oh, so close, Simon. 87% say yes.
Bloody hell.
Isn't that the most horrific thing? Yeah, yeah. We will take your child.
Blimey.
There's also a thing saying, should the BNP be given time on question time? Yes, was the big resounding majority.
Well, that's a very different argument, actually. I think they should be given time on question time so that they can have their arguments challenged.
Actually, there's a debate which happened at my old school between Richard Dawkins and, like, some mad Christian lady. I think Peter Thatcher was there as well. And the Christian lady says, but Peter Thatcher chooses to be gay. And then Richard Dawkins just replies, well, the advantage of a comment as stupid as that one is one can easily ignore it without even bothering to counter it.
Yeah, but my point is that if you give a platform to the BNP on a national network,
they
will fall on their asses and people will possibly see them for what they purport not to be.
There's that sort of thing when they're sort of going, oh yeah, we should get rid of Mardi Gras. And they're like, do you know how much money Mardi Gras makes? No. Is it good, is it? Oh.
Mardi Gras came and went. All my money has been spent. I'm not singing that song because it gets stuck in my head for months on end. Did you buy a newspaper?
Yes.
Damn.
Obviously, I bought a newspaper.
I was hoping maybe you wouldn't have bought a newspaper and this would be a lot quicker and simpler.
Simon, that's not good. I bought a newspaper. I bought a newspaper in my local newspaper shop and they also had Whispers for 10p because they were going cheap because it's a co-op and occasionally like things run out used by dates and I didn't buy a Whisper. I was a very good girl. But I did spend £2 on the Sunday paper, which I think is the most they come at.
You just wasted a minute of my life telling me stuff you didn't buy or eat.
Yeah.
I didn't buy a Porsche and I didn't eat it.
Okay. Okay, what is the most expensive paper?
I would have thought the Times.
What, the Times, they are changing?
Yeah, I think it's £2 something.
It's £2 something? Because yeah. I bought The Observer and that's £2.
Didn't I buy The Observer?
What?
I thought I bought The Observer.
No, you bought The Independent.
Hang on, no, you're right, I bought The Independent. That was genuine, I wasn't
And that is
out.
Why Izzy will win.
I think me not knowing what newspaper I bought this week just goes to show that I'm not very well this morning.
Aww.
Yeah.
Everybody, aww. Maybe you should have some echinacea, Simon.
All right then. Do you have something that you want to cut out and keep?
Yes, I do.
What?
I have two things and I don't know which one I want.
Okay. Do one of them and then another one.
Okay. Well, one of them is Alan Davis's big interview in the Observer magazine.
He's got a book coming out. I know that because of Twitter.
Yes.
It's out today.
But it's a really bad, like the journalist who wrote this, hang on, I'm just going to work out who the journalist is. Rachel Cook, right?
Uh-huh.
Basically, the opening page of it, it's all about how he is a bit awkward around journalists because he doesn't like them, but he actually does, but he doesn't. She doesn't like him very much, but she kind of does, but doesn't. And the opening paragraph is basically how he wanted to meet up in a greasy spoon and she tried to move the chair, but it was tied to the floor, which I think was a stab at him being slightly less middle class than her. I think he's just basically clammed up in front of her because she's annoying.
Yeah.
There are a few slight dips into conversation, but most of it she just lifted from his book, which is quite interesting, but it's not the best article in the world. There's no in-depth thing other than the fact that he's a bit prickly, but he's not prickly, but he is.
That's lazy, isn't it?
I know, exactly. Her entire investigation into why he started comedy is that, oh, well, he started doing it.
Wow, insightful.
Yeah.
Wow. I hate Rachel Cook with a passion.
Perhaps it's just one of those things that people are compelled to do the things of which they're most afraid. Brackets, I'm a journalist who is terrified of the telephone. Close brackets, what does he think?
She's asking him about herself.
Yeah.
Bloody hell. What do you think of me reacting to that so far?
You know, I can understand why he wasn't giving very good answers, poor boy.
Well, the interviewee is only as good as the interviewer.
It's just a really badly written article, and it's such a shame, because actually some of the facts in it are really quite interesting, all about, like, you know, his mum and his weird relationship with his dad and the fact that he's in therapy and, you know.
And what was the other article?
No, you got to do your one and then I'll do mine.
Oh, okay.
If I can top it.
Right. Looking for extra cash? Put that spare space at home to work for you. And this is by Chiara Cavaglieri, which is a great name.
That is a good name. Better than Rachel.
Some of the things you can do are take in a lodger, turn your home into a bread and breakfast, cast your home as a film set.
Now that's quite cool because then you get to meet film stars while you're trying to, you know, do your laundry.
Or you can rent out your driveway. Now, I don't know if any of that sounds familiar to you.
We did this a year ago.
Exactly, that's what I thought. We have done this article before, haven't we?
Yeah, we did it a year ago as part of homes and gardening and credit crunch.
Yeah, we definitely talked about it. Whether or not it actually made it into a podcast, I don't know. But what I did, I thought, right, that sounds familiar, especially the renting out your driveway bit.
Yeah.
I did a Google search, right? And I found that this article, in various guises, has appeared in the last year in my Independent Today by Stephen Womack in the Mail in December 2008, right. In the Mirror in January 2008, in the Times in October 2008, and in the Telegraph last month. And it's the same article, but ever so slightly differently arranged. I'm guessing that's a press release that some lazy journalists are
churning
off as their own thing. And I can even back that up a bit because you can go onto the websites that they talk about and they all go, oh, look at the coverage we've had in the newspapers. So that is just lazy journalism.
But who would do a press release about renting out your driveway?
Because you can go onto a website and register.
Oh, I see. So it's this website that's...
Yeah.
That's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. It actually made my brain ache.
I can make your brain ache further because I've got in the review of The Observer, and I don't know if you've seen those black farmer sausages that you can get in the supermarkets and stuff.
No.
Haven't you?
No.
But no, it's a self-styled black farmer, Wilfred Emmanuel Jones, and he's standing in Chippenham as their Tory candidate.
Ugh.
And it's all about how he's basically struggled and worked in order to become, you know, he worked as a runner for the BBC for a while and then bought some land and then became a black farmer and then now doing for the Tory party. And he's dressed exactly like a fop. With a waistcoat, you know, white trousers, holding a stick with a sort of country hat on, looking a bit ridiculous. But anyway, this is the reason I wanted to read this out. One of the great problems with politics is the growth of a career politician who has no experience of anything. Agreed. But isn't David Cameron just such a politician? Yeah, he is. What does he make of Cameron? He's done fundraisers for he. I ain't going to slag him off. There are prejudices against him because he's a posh git. But he can't help that. It's a bit like being black. He's fine. He's good. Sorry, so being black is apparently just like being posh. It's a terrible hardship, being posh.
Yeah.
And going to Eton. That must really hold you back in life. It must be so hard for David Cameron all this time. Oh, being Etonian and posh.
Yeah, no, and all those yachts he has to put up with.
I think, fair enough, we take the piss out of Etonians. But taking the piss out of someone is not the same as society holding them back.
No. There is
due
a very
to
distinct
the underlying
difference.
Prejudices in organisations and institutions. I think that's so different.
So basically, we've offered up three really bad articles. So are we trying to figure out who's got the worst bad article or the best bad article?
I got two of them. I win.
So just on sheer quantity
of
badness. Yeah,
quantity beats lack of quality. I win. Izzy wins. Yeah.
One day, I'm going to find an interesting and humorous way to introduce the article or farcical section.
No,
but in the meantime, I'm just going to jabber incoherently into my microphone, waiting for Isabel to interrupt me.
Isabel is my private name, not for readers. It's Izzy. It's Ask Izzy, isn't it? Not Ask Isabel.
Yeah, but then we've got that secret section that we never put out called Berate Isabel.
You said you wouldn't tell anybody about that. You made me cry.
I do often make you cry, that's true.
Only with laughter as I watch you try to put on a sock.
What is funny about me putting on a sock?
You fall off the chair.
No, I do
not.
You get
so concentrated, you little ball of fury, and you just sort of like roll off the chair and onto the floor, kicking out, trying to get to the sock and never making it.
Now, what you've done there is confused me with a toddler. Oh, yeah, I can see how you do that. Yeah, all right, fine. Should we move on? Tell me something funny about articles and farcicals.
Something funny about them? Piss you!
Funny as in, you know, slightly odd or askew, not as in amusing. Because you couldn't do that.
I hate you, Simon. I hate you. I hope your cold gets worse.
Thanks.
Right, readers, we're going to play article or farcical. You know the rules. One of them isn't an article. Three of them are articles from The Observer. So can Simon observe which ones are articles and which one's an er?
Yeah, I think I can manage that.
Okay, so number one, antelope on toast and puffin puree.
Antelope on toast?
Yeah.
That reminds me of Womble Burgers. What you do, you go to Wimbledon Common with a spade and you dig up Wombles and then you set a fire up and you spit roast Madame Cholet whilst chomping on Orinoco.
That sounds like hardcore porn.
Yeah, that was the clever double entendre I was going for. Although I would like a Womble burger.
Yeah, because if you actually wanted a Womble burger, you'd have to skin Uncle Bulgaria, then steam the flesh off his bones, mince it, and then mix it with a bit of breadcrumbs, maybe a bit of coriander. I like coriander.
Yeah, coriander. Basil probably would go quite well with a Womble.
Do you reckon? You think they're a bit more sort of like mozzarella-like?
I think they probably actually would just taste of litter.
What, like for your cat? So maybe that's what cat litter is made out of.
What, dried up pureed Wombles?
Yeah.
Cool.
Maybe it's just Womble poo. It looks odd. I just don't like those battery farmed Wombles. I think that's cruel.
Yeah.
In their little cages, laying eggs. Right, double the stubble.
And that's about beards, I presume.
No, it's about Philip Stark and Alan Sugar.
Okay.
Or Philippe Stark, who has got stubble, and Alan Sugar, who has stubble.
So you're supposed to say it in Cockney.
Double the stubble!
Dabble the stabble. Right, go on.
You can wuther my heights.
Can I?
Oh, yeah. And then finally, raising the bar.
And what's that about?
Cocktails. It's about cocktails.
Stop saying cocktails.
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 Antelope on toast and puffin puree. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That, to me, sounds a bit Izzy-esque. But I'm not going to plump for that yet.
Did you say plump?
Yeah.
Calling me fat?
Yeah. Right, I am going to say antelope on toast and puffin puree is the one that stinks of Izzy behind.
Why did you say that? Why not you can wuther my heights or double the stubble?
I wanted to talk about wuther my heights when you said you can wuther my heights. I was going to come back with a reference that sounded just as dirty, but I literally couldn't think of any other novels.
Heathcliff, shut up.
Heathcliff, Heathcliff, you're the
no
one.
No one should terrify the neighborhood.
So, am I right?
Terrorize the neighborhood. Heathcliff, Heathcliff, the untampering tricks
am I right?
on everyone. What?
Right,
yeah,
you are. Yeah. Yay!
Oh, yay.
What
God.
Did you purport that to be about?
What? Antelope on toast and puffin puree?
Yeah.
What gave it away? Was it the puffin puree?
No, it was the antelope on toast, to be honest. And the fact that you didn't want to talk about it.
I didn't not want to talk about it. I wanted to talk about it. I had a whole story made up about it.
Oh, it's a shame we've run out of time then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's delve into the old mailbag then. We don't have an old mailbag.
We do, we have you.
Oh.
You're old, you're male, and you're also a bag.
Oh.
You're a bag of partially digestive coffee. A decanter for a mug is what you are.
If I wasn't ill, I'd respond to that in a witty and intelligent manner.
You're not
manner.
Ill, you're just whining because I'm winning.
Well, Fine. Do you have any missives?
That was tweeted by Jodie Thayer. It says, at Izzy Lawrence, well, Izzy _ Lawrence, if you want to find me on Twitter. Just listen to Sunday Supplement. And I have to say, she has to, Simon. She has to. I thought you were hilarious this week. That's right. Hilarious. Izzy Lawrence, hilarious.
I wasn't mentioned in this tweet.
You were not mentioned in
that
tweet.
So you were funny last week. I wasn't.
That is what I'm guessing.
Wow.
Well, you know, it's good that I'm being appreciated.
Well, fine. I got a tweet from Rebel Girl. Rebel Girl. There's lots of R's in it, but it's Rebel Girl. But it's Girl. See? Girl. I like doing that. That's fun. I won't do it again. Girl. At me, which is at Sidon. You need to win next week's supplement. Don't let Izzy abuse you. Winky face.
Winky face?
Yeah, no.
She didn't call me winky face. I was going to say, is she calling you a dickhead there? Is that the same thing as a winky face?
That's something nice and you've turned it into abuse. How dare you? Right, so it's one all in that sense. So,
no, it's not. No, because Jodie Thayer has a proper name other than Winky Girl. Oh, no, Winky Girl. Sorry, Rebel Girl.
As it's a draw, we have to turn to our resident atheist cleric, the Reverend Matty, who's also emailed us this week. He actually emailed us. That still exists, email. I didn't know that. Did. At sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
Please do email us.
He emailed us with the subject line, Twitterati.
Wow.
And he says, I'm thinking of making my ringtone either Izzy saying, Izzy wins, or you saying, liberate your supplement. Still trying to decide which would be more disruptive in meetings. And then he sent a second one after last week's episode, and it says, correction to prior missive. Just please stop talking is definitely the ringtone winner. Congratulations, Simon. My wife calls me in the middle of a meeting, as so often happens. It shall be you announcing it with that phrase.
That's got to be really freaky. I suppose, though, the idea of that is that you would actually fit in somebody's bag or pocket, wouldn't you? So
just stop talking. See, I like saying that now. I am a ringtone now.
You are your own ringtone. You're like the crazy frog.
Oh.
But with trousers on. Damn. And no invisible motorbike.
See, you've undermined it again. I thought it would be great to be a ringtone. You've just called me the crazy frog.
Yeah. You're like the crazy frog of this podcast. And your invisible motorbike is whatever paper you've bought. The thing that lacks the substance to hold you up. But yet you still carry on irritating everybody in your path.
Well, I suppose at least you didn't point out my exposed tiny genitals.
Well, it is an audio podcast, Sam.
I haven't got them out, have I? God.
Well, I don't know, you might do, for all we
know. No, I don't.
You're there going, ding, ding, ding.
I do not record the podcast naked.
Why not?
Do you?
Yeah. Occasionally. No.
Anyway, if you want to write to us, you can write to us at sundaypodcast@hotmail.com.
Or you can send us a drawing, scan it in and email it to that same address, preferably of Simon's tiny frog-like genitals.
I don't have frog-like genitals.
Do. They've got lame ribbit.
Ribbit for my pleasure.
Yes.
Yeah, right, fine.
Broke it down.
And you can find our Twitter links via our website, which is at sundaysupplement.com.
And there's no apostrophes or anything in that. It's just Sunday Supplement because Simon's an idiot.
A ring ding 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 ding.
Put your cock away.
Don't give away the subject of this next section, is he?
Okay, I thought, is this a thing where you're only allowed on British stamps to show your face if you're a member of the royal family?
Possibly.
Because I heard that, and I believe that. And then I've got here a picture of Winston Churchill on a stamp, going Churchill Centenary, 5.5p.
Is that all it costs?
Yeah, but it's an old stamp. Because I've got a giveaway in my paper this week, Simon, and it's the Second World War. It's quite messy.
The whole war?
Well, no, day two, the Blitz, which didn't happen on day two, ironically. But I think the day two of the Second World War giveaway is today, and so they're covering the Blitz.
Oh, so it was in The Guardian yesterday?
Yeah, one presumes so. What annoys me is a little pamphlet, and it has some nice articles written by historians, overly simplified and a bit crude, but, you know, it's quite annoying, simply because the cover of it is quite flimsy paper. Now, normally, The Guardian and The Observer, when they give away these little booklets, have really nice cardboard covers, so you can stack them easily. And you can hold them in your hand and it feels like you've got something that's valuable, even though it's the same old dross that they usually download from Wikipedia. This one's floppy.
See, what's happened is that my brain has melted and it's starting to trickle out of my ears. That's why I've got this motorbike helmet on.
Oh, goodness sake. Just leave the joke to die, Simon. Like yourself, should be left to die.
No, Simon should die. Simon's rubbish at everything. He should just be dead.
Yes.
No, that was irony. I was being ironic, not asking you for agreement.
Yes.
This is not a democracy. You are clearly a dictator.
I'm a dictator. You're the one with all the editing power.
Yeah, I still make myself look twatty.
Yeah, you're Goebbels to my Hitler.
Right. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. Is it better to be Goebbels or Hitler?
I'd say Hitler's better, because at least if you're going to be an arsehole, better as well be a massive arsehole.
Well.
And Goebbels was a big arsehole.
But surely he enabled Hitler.
In his arseholeness.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's worse of an arsehole.
Wow, we've been talking about Nazis and the cops arrived.
Was that a cop? I think that was an ambulance.
I'll ruin the joke then.
Well, I'm just saying, maybe it's an ambulance for Hitler, after Goebbels punched him in the chops.
No, Hitler hasn't got chops, he was a vegetarian.
Into the Russian steppe, Operation Barbarossa, Adolf Hitler to Mussolini on the 21st of June, 1941. Deuce! I'm writing this letter to you at a moment when months of anxious deliberation, but he calls him Deuce. Isn't it Duce?
That's quite cool. Duce, yeah.
And with an exclamation mark, like, dude!
They could be Twittering each other now.
They could be tweeting, yeah. Adolf Hitler to Mussolini would be like, at Duce. I'm tweeting this letter to you at moment when months of anxious deliberation and continuous...
From at Hitler to at begobbed cigar premiere. Duck!
Yeah. No, Hitler would have continued to do like that, but that's how Hitler spoke anyway, because Hitler was a bit stupid.
Wow, we're so controversial, aren't we?
I know. Hitler was a bit stupid, Simon. He was a little bit extreme, I'll give you that. He was a little bit extreme.
And he invented the sex doll, which we talked about many months ago again. But here we go. I've got a free Beatles album. But it's one of those annoying giveaways that says, free, get it now, free, but you've got to send off for it and pay postage. So it's not free, and nor is it a giveaway.
It's free, like, we're free, yeah, in the society with all its rules. Yeah, yeah.
Time to measure up our humdongers now, and if you haven't heard this part before, why not? For a start. But secondly, it's where we pick out like what's filler in the newspaper and decide that that's the worst bit of the newspaper. It's like the opposite to cut out and keep, you see.
Yeah, but the cut out and keep was your filler this week, so I think I'll win.
So my humdonger this week is looking for extra cash, put that spare space at home to work for you. Which is taking a lodger, turn your home into a B&B, cast your home as a film set, and rent out your driveway.
Which
sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
There we go. That's my humdonger.
You really couldn't be bothered to read The Independent this week, could you?
There was literally nothing in it. Seriously, I think one of the sections was missing for a start. I didn't have a glossy magazine.
So you're already minus one down.
Yeah, and I got so enraged by this piece of journalism that I went on the internet and read all about that instead. So essentially, I blame Nick Davis.
Well, I blame Paul Morley for this article. Imagine a world without the Beatles. Would anyone except Oasis notice the difference? There's literally a full page on him going, oh, I wonder what life would be like without the Beatles.
What?
What's the post-punk tourist hint of the world that would have existed without the Beatles? If there'd be no Beatles, could there still have been the Sex Pistols? Or was the latter simply another inevitable consequence of the former? And he never answers the bloody question.
Well, of course he doesn't. Is he kind of just saying, well, it's the Beatles this week. I'm just going to be, like, contrary and not say they're great because I'm, like, brilliant. So I'm going to say, would we even know?
If there were no Beatles, would it seem achingly obvious that something was missing, even though we couldn't quite explain it? A palpable hole in space and time, a conspicuous lack of another, not necessarily better, not necessarily worse reality? Will we still be waiting for something to happen? Shut up! Shut up! You annoying, annoying little cock!
It's that shitty journalist trick of asking a rhetorical question, like they did with Stephen Fry in The Times this week. Is Stephen Fry the most annoying man in Britain? And then going on about how he twitters and how he's not always nice and he's not that intelligent, but never actually quite saying it themselves, but quoting other people. Usually from the internet and forums that are full of bile and hatred and spite.
To keep up with the Beatles' endless ejaculations of turned-on ingenuity, he was constantly forced to commit... I did say ejaculations. Forced as a committed technician to sober aesthetic to reimagine recording possibility. Shut up!
What's his name?
Paul Morley. You'd recognise...
Paul Morley is a donger.
Hum.
time to decide then who has the superior supplements this week, and I don't care. It probably isn't me.
Well, I know how I win, Simon. I'll tell you how I win.
Cheating, bullying, being rude.
I'm going to switch on my camera, I think, so the quality of the connection will go down. But it's important that you hear Simon's reaction to this.
Okay.
So the video is on. Can you see me?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there is the Observer magazine.
It's Alan Davis.
On the front, looking quite nice, I think, even though he looks very pensive.
Yeah.
I don't know what he stood in front of, but it appears to be scary, like yeah. A massive eyebrow.
Yeah.
And then...
Whoa!
Hey! And I only noticed this just when we started recording.
You've got two Observer magazines, one slightly smaller than the other one.
I think that might be just a distance thing. Is it slightly smaller? No, they're the same size. That's just a distance thing. It's called Perspective, so...
Oh, it's a Perspective. You got two. Yeah. Are they got the same inside?
Yeah.
Wow.
We got two. Same paper. So although I paid £2 for this magazine, it was worth it.
So essentially you got my glossy magazine
that
I haven't got.
Yeah, I got two of them.
Bloody hell. You nicked it, didn't you?
I didn't nick it.
You nicked it.
They packaged it wrong, therefore I win.
So what was missing? So like the Observer Food Monthly or something?
No, I've got the Music Monthly. That's the one that had the Beatles article. It go, would there be an Oasis for that? Would there be a Tears for Fears? Would there be...
Tears for Fears?
Yeah. No, seriously, I'm not making that up. Cheap Trick, ELO, Tears for Fears, Oasis, or Take That without the Beatles. Would people even understand the concept of music? Would we have a guitar? What about haircuts? Would we have haircuts without the... Would we have faces?
Would we have iTunes?
Well, obviously we'd have iTunes.
Because there's a very important point that the Beatles Apple label had an agreement with Apple Computers that they could use the Apple trademark if only they don't enter into the music business. So recently, when they started iTunes, Paul McCartney threw up a hissy fit and took them to court, saying, but that's music. iTunes is music. And they went...
So basically, iTunes would exist without the Beatles because the Beatles don't like iTunes to be...
No, I think Apple only started iTunes to annoy Paul McCartney because of all the tedious crap he's produced in the last 10 years.
Well, I like the fact that you've been ill and rubbish this week and I've been all the entertainment that the people's need, other than the fact that you basically live in people's pockets naked on your invisible motorbike complaining that you don't have any articles apart from one article, which we already did like a year ago.
So the newspaper you should have bought last week was the one that Izzy took this spare supplement from. So there's an Observer out there somewhere that hasn't got an Observer magazine and someone's going, ooh, where's my Observer magazine? That's the paper you should have bought.
I want to know about Alan Davis, they're thinking. Buy his book. It sounds quite good. And the article in The Observer, though, is trollop.
Join us next week when Simon will probably be slightly more cognizant.
No, you won't. You're always like this. And every time I try and be interesting, you're like, shut up, you're making me look bad. Shut up, Izzy. Just stop talking, Izzy. You're making me look stupid.
Just stop talking.
I'm just lovely. Please write to Simon because he's a lonely, lonely soul. And also write to me because I just want to hear from you because you're great.
You want me to write to you?
No, I really don't want that.
That's what you just said.
No, I'm talking to our readers.
Oh.
Not you.
Oh.
I'm trying to reach them out there.
You reach around? So you're kind of give them reach arounds?
Yeah, yeah. I'll give you all a reach around.
Free reach arounds for everyone. Cheerio.
With this week's supplement, a reach around. Bye bye.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.